B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're going to head to the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, and we're going to speak to a man who does a great job covering the Sixers, Keith Pompey, at Pompey on Sixers, of course, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Keith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's up, man?
I'm doing great, man. Now, before we get into the Sixers talk, I got to ask, how was the All-Star game? How was Chicago? I was looking at your Twitter feed. The pictures were awesome. The videos were great. Did you enjoy yourself?
It was cold, bro.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, it was freezing. But, it was cool. It was cold. But, you know what I mean? The thing is, the All-Star game was by far the best one that I've been to in 7 years. And it was just a great atmosphere, but it was freezing outside.
Well, that's why you stayed inside the arena, right? You tried staying inside as much as you could. So I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Now we got to get down to business, and we have 27 regular season games left with the Sixers, 27 games for Brett Brown to figure out a rotation come playoff time with his new pieces and Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III. But the first thing I want to touch base on is yesterday Al Horford told you and a bunch of other reporters that he's going to be coming off the bench for the remainder of the season. It looks like when Al Horford was speaking, does he seem okay with it? Is he on the same page with the coaching staff that he's now going to be coming off the bench instead of being a starter?
You know, I think in a way. I mean, no one wants to be a bench player.
Right.
But I think with Al Horford, it comes to a point where, you know, Al Horford is a guy who he doesn't want to disrupt the team, and he doesn't want to make it about himself. But, you know, if you're talking to Al, you know, with his family and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure he's a little disappointed. But at the same time, you know, he's going to take the high road. He's going to say all the great things, because at the end of the day, he wants this team to win too. So, you know, yeah, he wasn't like a guy who came out and said, hey, this is crazy. Coach doesn't know what he's doing. He's
right.
Saying, hey, I want to help this team win. So you have to commend them for that.
So the Sixers are getting back in action tonight facing the Nets. And their first game with this new rotation, with Al Horford coming off the bench, was, of course, the Clippers game, where the Sixers looked like a whole different team than during that four-game losing streak. But the new starter was Furkan Korkmaz, and he gave you 0 points. So my question for you, Keith, do we see that Furkan Korkmaz stays in the starting lineup moving forward, or can we see somebody else like Glenn Robinson III sliding in if Korkmaz continues to struggle?
I think if Korkmaz continues to struggle, you can see like Glenn Robinson III playing there. But also, you know, here's the one thing. Like, Korkmaz is a guy who's like an open, you know, you leave him open, he'll stick a couple threes. Now, he didn't make them in that game, but that's his role. And that second unit, you know, based off of what Brett Brown was saying yesterday, you know, a guy like Alec Burks, you know, he wants him to be the alpha dog. He wants him to be the scorer of that second group. So my thing is, will he and Furkan mix? You know what I mean? Because when Furkan gets the balls, he's going to shoot it. And that's what you want Alex to do. So I can see where he's going to throw Furkan out there, you know, or try to do it a little bit more just to see what he can get with him, you know, just because you want Alex to be like the scorer of that second unit. But, you know, again, a lot has to depend on his defense as well. But Glenn Robinson III is a great option. But, you know, I just don't want, if I'm Brett Brown, I don't want anything standing in the way of Alex, you know, having phenomenal games coming off the bench.
So could Korkmaz almost lose out on minutes in the next couple of weeks now? I mean, he was great. We know he scored the 30-point games in back-to-back games, and he was on fire, and everybody was fired up. But we also knew he was going to eventually come back down to earth. But if he doesn't fit well with Burks, and if he's not hitting the open three when he's on with the starting rotation in the beginning of the game, could he end up losing minutes? Because obviously he's a bit of a defensive liability. I know Brett's happy with his improvement on the defensive end of things, but you already have a pretty deep rotation. You're going to have Burks coming off the bench. You're going to have Glenn Robinson III coming off the bench or starting. You have Al Horford coming off the bench. And I'm sure Matisse Thybulle is still going to get some run. And because he's a better defender than Korkmaz, could Korkmaz end up losing his minutes?
I mean, you're going to lose minutes anyway. I think all of them are, with the addition of Robinson and Burks. But the one thing about Korkmaz, you have to, they're all going to lose them. But the one thing about Korkmaz is, he adds something that a lot of players don't have. I mean, his ability, his shooting. Now, you know, Birchkin is a scorer.
Right.
But there's no one else on the team that you can say that can hit him up, hit threes like Furkan. So with that, I mean, he's going to lose some minutes, but I can't see him going from, you know, scoring 30 points in back-to-back games to suddenly getting DMPs or getting like 5 minutes. I think the Sixers need him, and it's just a way of just meshing him in with the right people. Because, you know, when he's playing with Tobias and he's playing with Joel and he's playing with all these other guys, people aren't saying, I got to stop Furkan Korkmaz.
Right.
You know, they're going to stop those other guys. So he's going to benefit from that. Is when guys devise a game plan and they're saying, we got to stop Furkan because he's the best shooter on the floor or the best option, scoring option, that's when you may run into a problem. So I don't think that, per se, now again, it's 27 games. Like Brett Brown said, a lot can happen. But right now, looking at it, I don't see him. I see him losing minutes because the other two are coming.
Right.
I don't see him going to being, you know, like how Neto is or how Trey Burke was before he was eventually waived.
Speaking of Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, beyond fast. Now, there's 27 games left, which it seems like a pretty big number, but we know it's not that much, right? 27 games, that's going to fly by before we know it. So these last 27 games, Brett Brown really needs to figure out his playoff rotation. So we already know Al Horford coming off the bench. Right now, it looks like Furkan Korkmaz is going to be in the starting lineup. Do you see almost like a playoff-like feel every single game coming down this stretch where guys are going to be playing a little extra minutes, and guys are going to be playing less minutes, as we talked about, and certain guys are going to be DNP'd, as you just said, because the Sixers are still the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference. And I remember Elton Brand said during his press conference following the deadline that it's pretty much a playoff game from here on out. Do you expect a rotation like that where Simmons is playing 40 minutes and Embiid's playing close to 40 minutes on a given night down the stretch?
Not quite yet. It's still early. And also, you know, when you look at the schedule, I mean, we're talking about, you know, yes, they have Brooklyn tonight, they have Milwaukee. Then after that, they got Atlanta, Cleveland, and the Knicks. I mean, they should win all three. Then they go to L.A., then they have Sacramento, Golden State. They should win the last two, followed by Detroit. So what's going to happen is, I mean, the Sixers, you know, you want to keep people healthy and everything for the playoffs. And also, you know, I think Brett Brown has to find out what his rotation is because, you know, you named guys, and ideally a team would like to have an 8 or 9 man rotation, preferably an 8. So I think that although he's not coming out and saying it, he's trying to use it this last 2 months to have these players and let them tell him, hey, I deserve to get minutes off the bench. You know, I think that right now you got guys like, you know, Glenn Robinson. You have Alec Burks, who deserve it. You also said Al Horford. That's three guys right there. So, you know, you typically only want to go, if you want to go 9 deep, then who else is going to get in the rotation? So, you know, I think that they're going to figure that out within this last 2 months. So it's kind of a little bit early, especially with the level of opponents they're going to be playing, for them to just go away, you know, and just say, okay, Ben, I want you, you know, going 40 minutes to, well, you got to do 40, this and that. They want to keep them fresh for the playoffs.
Right, yeah, and here's the thing. I get it. Like, you don't want to burn them out come playoff time. And you talked about the schedule, and I see a stretch of games following those two L.A. games, the Clippers and the Lakers. There's 11 games where I say you should go no worse than 9-2 during that stretch. But the problem is, because it's some of the games the Sixers are on the road, and we know their road struggles this year, and because we've seen them struggle against teams that they should beat. I mean, we've seen them lose to teams like the Hawks. I know Trae Young went off that night, but we see them lose to teams where you go, wow, this should be a win. That's why I almost go, all right, you have 27 games left. That sounds like a lot, but to me, it's really not that much. And if you want to really gain ground in the Eastern Conference, because you're only a game and a half back of the Heat, it's still a possibility. You still have a chance of catching the Celtics as a 3 seed. And I don't want to just say, you know what, let's just get to the playoffs healthy. I know that's the biggest thing, but you only have 27 games left to gain some ground. And we know how important home court advantage is for the Sixers.
Exactly. You're right. You have a great point. But then you also think back to the past two playoff series. You know, there was a point, you know, late in around this time, the last two times, 1 year, Embiid messed up his, you know, orbital bone.
Yeah.
The second time, you know, Embiid, you know, he goes to the All-Star break, and then he comes back and he's suffering from tendonitis. So, you know, my thing is, you know, if you're Brett Brown, you're looking at it and you're saying, wow, if I would have had a healthy Embiid for those last two playoff series, maybe we probably would have gotten out of the second round. You know, so it's one of those things where you just have to be careful. And let's face it, you have, and we're talking about the bench, you have the two new guys, and Burks and Glenn Robinson III. You have Al Horford. You have Matisse Thybulle. You know what I mean? You have Mike Scott. These are all five guys who kind of sort of deserve to get some playing time. I know Mike Scott is struggling a little bit, but he brings a different type of thing, too, when he's hot. So if you're Brett Brown, you got to try to get these guys some minutes. Now, again, all of them aren't going to play like 20 minutes or anything like that.
Right.
But you have to get them minutes. You have to get them, you know, you have to figure out what you have. Now, again, when it comes down to like the last couple weeks, yeah. But then you also know, don't be surprised once they figure out, let's just say if they get locked into the fourth seed or the third seed, don't be surprised if they just shut it down like the last game, you know, with certain starters. But yeah, I get what you're saying. But right now, I think it's a matter of trying to get first of all, you got to try to get the two new guys in rhythm with their other teammates. And then you have to try to figure out who's going to be on that postseason rotation.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Speaking of the two new guys, well, one of them, Alec Burks. Remember, there was that report that came out when he was first traded that he wasn't really thrilled with the idea because he enjoyed the culture playing for the Golden State Warriors and he didn't really want to get up and move. I mean, that was a report that was coming out west. I don't know exactly how true it was. And even his press conference when he came for that first game but he wasn't ready to play, he seemed like, yeah, all right, I'm with the Sixers. He's only played one game, then it was quickly the All-Star break. Is Alec Burks adjusting to being with the Sixers? Is he starting to be a little bit happier that he's on a playoff contender?
I mean, we'll find out. I mean, and you'll figure out. Like, that's something that, you know, like, again, you said one game, they went on the All-Star break, they came back yesterday. You know, it's going to be one of those things. You got to figure out how it all works out for you.
Right.
And if you're a guy like Alec Burks, you know, you're looking at it like, man, I'm having a career year over here, and I'm in a contract season because his contract runs over at the end of this year. So, you know, he has a family. You know, he's just looking at it as if, like, hey, I'm trying to, you know, ball out so I can get paid. And you look at the 76ers right now, you know, they have an overabundance of wing players.
Right.
So, you know, typically, you know, I don't fault a guy who, when they get traded to a situation, you know, they're wondering like, wow, how are they going to use me? Because just because you got traded there doesn't necessarily mean that if the coach doesn't like your game, that he's just going to throw you out there, you know? So, you know, so I can understand, you know, where he was coming from.
Yeah, but he's going to be the first guy off the bench with Al Horford, and he's going to have the ball in his hand a lot. If I'm Alec Burks, I'm thrilled because now I'm on a playoff contender. And you talk about getting paid. If you can ball out for in his role, especially come playoff time, I would be happy about that.
Yeah, but do you know that going in? I mean, let's be real. When you get traded, do you actually know what's going on?
No.
I mean, we're thinking about, you got traded a night after Furkan Korkmaz drops 34
right,
points coming off the bench. Then your first game you're there, you see Furkan Korkmaz drop 31 points. You see what Matisse Thybulle does. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's not being a good or he wasn't being a good teammate. It's just you want to figure out what your role is. I mean, and that's one of those things. Now, again, we can all say that, oh, he'll be the first man off the bench. He'll do this. He'll do that. But initially, you know, when Brett Brown was asked about him, he was like, we got to figure it out. Now, yesterday, Brett Brown was like, oh, yeah, we're going to give him the ball. He's going to be this and that. But initially, you know, the coach, everything happened so fast.
Right.
To whereas he had to figure out what this guy's strengths were. So, and you know, and like another thing, there's something that we don't really think about. You know, you're all we on the West Coast. You're loving it. You know, you have a wife and a daughter. You know, and now it's like, okay, is this going to be a full-time thing? I mean, something for me moving forward? Or am I just going to be a three-month rental and I'm going to be away from my family? You know, so, you know, it's just a lot of emotions. Like being traded in the middle of the season or towards the end of the season, you know, isn't ideal for most people, you know, because when you have family involved. So, you know, personally, I'd rather somebody saying, hey, I don't know how this is going to work, as opposed to someone saying, oh, this is going to be great. And then we find out that, you know, he was being, you know.
He was miserable the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And again, it's one of those things that it always plays itself out.
Right. All right, last one for you, Keith. Make sure you follow Keith on Twitter, at Pompey on Sixers. Of course, read his stuff on Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. So basically, one of the things that we're talking about during the show today is, what are the two or three things that you need to see the Sixers really accomplish in these next 27 games for you to have confidence going into the playoffs? Because let's face it, the Sixers have been such an incredibly inconsistent team all season long. They haven't had a longer winning streak than four games so far this season. They've been up and down, but we all know the talent that they have. So, Keith, for you to have confidence in this team to actually make a deep run in the playoffs, at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe even the NBA Finals, what are the two or three things you need to see during this 27-game stretch?
Well, start off with the next four road games. I need to see them go at least 3-1 in the next four road games. Because, I mean, if you look at it, you know, now one of them is Cleveland. You know, Cleveland is in huge disarray. I expect them to win that one, right? But then, you know, the Lakers, they kind of handed it to the Lakers when the Lakers came here. They did the same thing to the Clippers. And then, you know, Milwaukee, they dominated Milwaukee here and then got pounded there. I mean, I would like that for me to have confidence. I would like to see the Sixers go 3-1.
I'll take two and two over the next three.
I know you take 2-2, but to me, it's like I'm already giving them one win. I mean, against Cleveland.
Right.
So I would like to see that. I mean, now we're talking about going deep in the playoffs.
Yes.
Deep in the playoffs. That's what I'm talking about. But as in regards to, you know, being a quality playoff team, yeah, 2-2 is great. But I would like to see them go 3-1. That means you're playing three elite teams on this road trip. I mean, well, not road trip, but, you know, these road games. You're playing three elite teams, and I would like to see if you can beat two of them. That's all I'm asking. I would like to see if you can beat two of them.
I would sign up for 2-2, but you're right. If we're talking about going deep into the playoffs, we're talking Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, then 3-1 should be not that difficult of a task for a team that should go that far. Keith, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for coming on today and give me some time. And we'll continue to read your stuff on Inquirer and Inquirer.com, all right?
All right, man. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thanks, Keith. There he is, Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.